Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 12th of May, and the market was looking okay first thing this morning on the back of a 474-point fall on Wall Street, and our futures were down 45, but we held up pretty much okay this morning. We were down around 10 on the open, but it's all fallen over now, and we are down 67, and that follows a 76% fall yesterday, and we are now over a percent. In fact, we're almost 2% below the recent all-time closing high that we hit on Monday. The feature overnight, of course, was that the Nasdaq held up, so we've got this two-tier market going on, technology versus value, or traditional stocks as they say, and technology is winning the day. So the Nasdaq was only down 0.1%, and in the other markets, as I say, Dow Jones down 1.36%, Germany was down 1.8%, UK down 2.47%, stocks like General Motors down 3%, ExxonMobil down 3%, Pult Homes, their big house builder in the US, down 4.5%. And in the US, Facebook was up a little bit, Amazon, Netflix up a little bit. So again, a two-tier market as it falls over, technology looking a little bit better. The negative chatter is about inflation again. And if you look at the US and Australian 10-year bond yield with the budget yesterday, the Australian bond yield has gone up. We'll come to that in a minute. But also the US 10-year bond yield rose on the night as inflation fears or interest rate fears return. So our market looking a little bit shabby today, but technology stocks holding up. Now, before I get to CBA quarterly results and the iron ore stocks, let me just talk about the budget. I have distilled the budget vibe for you without going into the specifics. And the bottom line message is that the budget was more stimulating than expected, more spending than expected, $74.6 billion in the next 2 years, a focus on jobs, tax breaks, income tax cuts, social services spending, aged care spending. But that's not really the point. The main point is that they have come to the party, or the government has come to the party, to help reflate the economy and are working with the RBA to do that. And the RBA had their meeting last week, and we're talking about policy remaining on hold, tolerating bumps in inflation without having to change policy, saying that interest rates would remain on hold until 2024. What this budget has caused a few brokers to suggest is that it is going to bring on inflation, will lead to GDP upgrades, a stronger Aussie dollar, an earlier tapering timetable for the RBA, and the likelihood that interest rates will be raised sometime before the RBA's 2024 target, maybe 2023. Nothing for us to worry about, but you can get the vibe. It is basically good for the economy, and that is what it was intended to be. And that's good for the stock market as well. Also, we've seen income tax breaks, as I say, focus on jobs, good for employment, good for consumer confidence, good for consumer spending, business spending, and the housing market. Aged care was a specific beneficiary, REG and EHE, Estia Health, both up about 4% today. Significant spending on social services, but the main message, as I say, is recovery optimism being fed by fiscal policy and monetary policy, which is good for cyclical industries, aviation, tourism, commodity prices, resources. Cyclical sectors. Keep playing the recovery trade is the message from the budget. Right, let's just cover off CBA's quarterly updates, not quarterly results. They're calling it a quarterly update, so there's no dividend. And it's pretty good. Third quarter profit at $2.4 billion was double the third quarter. Reflects a very strong business and home lending market. And the good news is that although there is no dividend with this update, we have been or were hoping to hear some hint about what they will do to normalize dividends when they have results in August. Results are on August the 11th, goes ex on August the 17th. And they have said that their strong capital position has left the door open for larger returns to shareholders later in the year. So that's about as good as you could expect to hear. We saw some normalization of dividends from the other three banks Westpac returned to paying 62% of their pre-pandemic dividends, ANZ 87%, NAB 74%, if I got that the right way around. And the CBA, with their February results, paid out 52% of their pre-pandemic dividends. So you assume that with their results in August, they'll get back to 70 to 80%, possibly even higher. Share price of CBA down 0.6% today. On the results, it was actually unmoved. So an okay update, not dazzling. You might note Westpac and NAB go ex-dividend tomorrow. Macquarie goes ex-dividend on May 17. That's Monday next week. I have included in the strategy piece today a chart of the sector performance, which is now above its pre-pandemic high, and the numbers where the yields are gross, that is to say including franking, touching 6.4, 6.5, 7.3 for ANZ, 100% franked, which is well below the 9 to 11% they got to in their recent depths. So still not flashing fabulous yields on offer yet. Those yields are still pretty skinny until they normalize dividends. They're unlikely to get back to that 7% pre-franking that they used to be on. Right, the main story today in the strategy piece is about iron ore. We've been talking about the resources boom in 2002-2008 when brokers started publishing what the valuations of stocks or iron ore stocks would look like if you factored in spot prices instead of conservative iron ore price assumptions into your valuations and earnings numbers. And we were talking about what would BHP be worth if you use the current spot price for iron ore, which is over $220, instead of brokers' forecasts, which are anywhere around $50 to $100 a ton, over half what the, or under half, is it? What the current spot price is. Brokers are basically being conservative in their iron ore price assumptions. So we were talking about something that happened in the resources boom, which is brokers trying to light your imagination by saying, well, if we use spot prices for iron ore, let alone copper, I have to say, which is also shot well above where brokers are forecasting it to be, and the oil price. But if you were to use spot price for iron ore, what would BHP be worth, and Rio and Fortescue? And Macquarie have delivered today a graphic which tells you what their earnings forecasts would do for seven iron ore related stocks. And for BHP, their earnings next year, if they used a spot price, would be 124% higher. The year after, for 2023, earnings would be 215% higher, and their valuation would be 225% higher. I won't read out all the numbers, but it's the same thing with Rio, would be worth 270% more, Fortescue 395% more, Mineral Resources 264%, Champion Iron 450%, and there are two others in there as well. It's a fairly obvious comment. If you use spot prices, which are much higher than most brokers expected them to be at this stage, if you use spot prices, these valuations just blow through the roof. They are that geared to the iron ore price. And this shows you the extent of the under forecasting at the moment. Of course, to include spot prices as your assumption, the iron ore price would have to average the current spot price for the whole of 2022 and 2023. And you might imagine that is something that no broker in his right mind would, or her right mind would, do at the moment, unless there was a significant structural event like a World War III or something that changed all the demand and supply assumptions as well, which of course is an unlikely event. And astonishingly, even using the conservative broker assumptions, current assumptions, using the current earnings numbers before any upgrades, BHP, Rio, Fortescue are on PEs of 12.4, 8.1, 6.4, and on yields of 8.8, 12.5, and 19.1. They are cheap before you start forecasting spot prices. Now, before you run out and buy all the resources stocks because of this astonishing, sensational piece of theory, you shouldn't let the optimism distract you from the reality that it doesn't matter what brokers are forecasting. Share prices discount the iron ore price on a daily basis. So brokers can forecast what they like, but as you'll see in the chart in the strategy piece, the BHP share price has been ramping up in line with the iron ore price. So don't pretend for an instant that the market hasn't noticed that the iron ore price has gone up. It has. And the other reality is, the moment the iron ore price falls over, So will BHP, Rio, Fortescue and all the other stocks in the sector. So don't delude yourself that we've spotted or Macquarie have spotted or anyone else has spotted something that nobody else has spotted, that the iron ore price has gone up. Everyone knows it. It's in the share price already. So really the only conclusion from this bit of theory is stay overweight resources. Doesn't necessarily mean you buy them. You can still buy them on the assumption that the iron ore price is going to go higher still. We're already overweight. We don't need to buy any more, but we certainly won't be selling. And that probably is the main point. Resources are running with a very strong tide at the moment. Let's not bother swimming against it until it turns. Right, that's about that. I don't think the government will be too impressed with their budget day response. Market down 76. As I leave you, the Dow futures down 131. Not the best look. You have a fabulous day, and I will speak to you tomorrow.